Hello, and welcome to the Landman Pivot Podcast. This is your host, Ryan Fairbanks. I've been an independent contractor landman for 15 years, and I'm an RPL, that's Registered Professional Landman, with the American Association of Petroleum Landmen. The oil and gas industry is going through a period of turmoil right now. There's a lot of controversy about being in energy. Mergers and acquisitions are happening all the time, and that can be a cause of great uncertainty for land professionals, whether you're an employee or an independent contractor. Here on the podcast, we'll focus on the things that you can control: your skill development, mindset, and preparation to pivot. What does a career pivot mean to you? It could mean taking on a new and different role. It could also mean transitioning out of the industry. You're in the right place. This is the right time to develop your skills and prepare for your next pivot. So let's dive in with today's guest. Today we have special guest David Creel. David is a Zig Ziglar certified coach. A couple of different certifications there, right, David?
Yes. Choose to win and see you at the top.
Awesome. So today we're going to visit about those things and what David does as a Ziglar coach to help people get traction in their life, make changes, establish balance. I'll talk a little bit about I've engaged with David and how that has helped me in my life. So David, you want to talk a little bit about just three of the spokes on the wheel of life. So maybe we got to start there, talking about the wheel of life in general.
Yeah. So thanks for the invite, first off. So years ago, Zig Ziglar came up with the wheel of life. Everything in life can be broken down to seven categories: mental, spiritual, physical, family, financial, personal, and career. But the three most important are the mental, the spiritual, and the physical. Okay, you have to have those right. So the mental aspect, my all-time favorite quotation, you know, not from the Bible, but close to it: you are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. You can change what you are and you can change where you are simply by changing what goes into your mind. The spiritual aspect: the fact of the matter is you're going to be dead a whole lot longer than you're going to be alive. And it's important to get that nailed down to know where you're going to end up. And then the physical aspect is super important, because if you don't take care of your body, that's the only place we have to live right now. You know, we can only live in our body. But the physical aspect is three things. It's not just physical exercise. It's three things: sleep, diet, exercise. Now, I'm not going to ask Ryan which one is the most important, because he's going to ruin it for everyone else. But the most important of exercise, diet, and sleep, the most important is sleep, because that's when your body heals itself. All the rest of the spokes are important: family, financial, personal, career. But the three most important, like kind of the foundation pieces: mental, spiritual, physical.
Yeah. In the physical spoke, getting enough sleep has had a major impact on my life. I used to push, you know, 5-6 hours a night, just whatever I could think I could get away with, and learned from David, hey, 5 hours of sleep and then get up and go work out at the gym and start busting it on the day. Wasn't cutting it.
No good. Well, you can sprint and do that for a couple of days, but why would you want to? The sleep is so important. You know, all your body's healing itself. It's getting the rest it needs. When you get a full night's rest, you're more alert when you wake up, you know. And most people should be getting 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Some people may need more. Like my wife can sleep for 10 hours straight, no problem. So it just depends on your body. But there's also something too, where there's a book called Sleep Smarter by Sean Stevenson, highly recommended. But he talks about their sleep cycles, you know, and everybody has them different, but they're around 90 minutes apiece for each person. So if you can get 6 hours, or if you can get 7 hours, but you can't get 6.5, you ideally want to go 90 minutes. You ideally want 6 minutes, 6 hours, or 7.5 hours to get 4 to 5 full sleep cycles. And then when you wake up, not in the middle of a sleep cycle, you're more alert when you wake up.
That's awesome. Engaging with David, letting him help me get my sleep on track, make sure I'm getting, you know, at least 7 hours a night is what I need to operate somewhat well and occasionally get some of those good 9 hour extra sleep cycles really has made a big difference in my business, in my life, in my relationships. It just makes such a big difference when you're not tired and cranky and your body is allowed to heal from the stuff you deal with during the day and your mind is allowed to rest from the screens and traffic and business and everything that's going on.
All true. All true. It's vital. You know, all the talk you hear of, oh yeah, I sleep 3 hours a night. Well, they may sleep 3 hours a night, but they're not functioning at their optimal level because you can't. We're not designed to be able to only sleep 3 hours. You know, think about our ancestors back in the day. They didn't have electricity. So whenever the sun went down, what else are you going to do? You're probably going to go to sleep pretty soon. And when the sun comes up, it's time to get up and go to work. So, you know, if you think about it, whenever you have like, you know, like in Texas, and I'm sure it's other parts too, but in the winter, sun's down at 6 o'clock. What are you going to do? You know, and the key to getting a good night's sleep is setting your day up the night before, letting go, trying to get off your screens, any screens before an hour before you go to bed, avoiding caffeine before you go to bed, getting your room as dark as possible. You know, get a sleep mask if you have to get your, you can't see any light, and then get the room cold. You want it, ideally, you want between 64 and 68 degrees when you're trying to go to sleep.
Good tips.
You know, like I know Ryan struggled with, he said he couldn't turn his brain off. So he kind of implemented like a kind of a brain dump at the end of the day to write all the stuff down that he was thinking about. And then he wouldn't be laying in bed thinking about all the stuff he's got to do. He's already got it written down. He's not going to forget it. And then he can think about it tomorrow.
Yeah, that really helped. Also, if I woke up between sleep cycles with my brain just going with what's coming up the next day or stuff that had happened the previous day, just write it, just dump it on paper, get it out, or, you know, not necessarily worried or anxious or concerned, but even excited about what's coming up. Write it down, get it out, and then go back to sleep. Okay, the other two spokes you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so the foundations are, like I said, mental, spiritual, physical. Those are the most important. Family, if you notice in the wheel, family is before financial. And Ryan's going to have a PDF that he's going to send out to y'all so you can go through this yourself. But family is next in line, not I need to work 90 hours this week so that I can, you know, get my third ski boat or whatever. Okay. Family is the next most important because we all have a family or are part of a family or want a family, you know? So after your family gets done, then you worry about your finances. You know, if your job is greatly interfering with your family time where you don't see them or you always have to have OT, maybe you need to get a different job, you know, because your family is more important than your job. Yeah, there's the wheel of life right there. So whenever you take this assessment, rate yourself 0 to 10 in each one of these categories, and 1 being awful and 10 being the best you can dream about. And then on this wheel here, after you plot your spokes, draw your own wheel, because you might see you have maybe some flat spots that you need some help with. But then, you know, after your mental, spiritual, physical is going in the right direction, your family's going in the right direction, your financial aspect's going in the right direction, then personal time. You know, how much time do you take for yourself on a weekly basis? a lot of the people that I know just give and give and give, but they don't take time to fill their own cup up. Like personally, I like playing golf. So I try to go play once a week, if not once every couple of weeks, just because that's what I enjoy doing. You know, Ryan, I know, likes swimming and riding bikes. He makes time to get that in to fill his own cup up so that he can give to other people, because you can't give what you don't have.
So, David, that's I want to pause you there for a second. The priority order is something that I never really thought about when we were going through it. You know, the goal is to get everything balanced out so our wheel of life can roll along more smoothly instead of bouncing down the road. So the three core ones you talk about: mental, physical, spiritual, and then family and financial, and then personal and career, kind of in some groups. That's interesting to consider and prioritize that way.
Right. Well, because you can't do everything at once. You know, if you look at your wheel and you've got twos and threes and fours and fives, you need to pick the one that would make the most difference in your life and work on that one first. Newsflash, the one that makes the most difference, mental. It's the most important, because everything, thoughts are things. Everything you can see in this world today started in the mind of one individual, you know, so the mental is the most important for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast. Some of you guys may be familiar with Colin Plackey. Has a podcast called Rigs to Real Estate. He's a landman like I am, and really focuses on helping land professionals develop a real estate portfolio to develop that stable income that can be their fallback stabilizer for the up and down cycles that happen in the oil and gas industry. And on his Rigs to Real Estate podcast, Colin was talking about the most valuable piece of real estate on the planet, right there, 8 or 9 inches between your ears.
Yeah, it's crazy how powerful our minds are, but we get so busy with stuff and going from one thing to the next thing that we never even take time to think. You know, the best audio program I've ever heard in my life, which is not a secret, but Earl Nightingale, The Strangest Secret. If you have not never listened to this, it's must listen to material today. It's only 30 minutes. It's absolute gold, and it's so vital.
Yeah, it is.
Let me give you a spoiler alert before you listen to The Strangest Secret. The Strangest Secret is you become what you think about. That's The Strangest Secret. But the audio is must-listen material.
Good stuff. So let's talk about spiritual spoke for a minute.
Okay, well, the spiritual spoke, like I said earlier, is the fact of the matter is you're going to be dead a whole lot longer than you're going to be alive. Okay? And I'm a Christian. So I base my spiritual on the Bible. So if it doesn't line up with the Bible, then I don't really care. The Bible determines what's going on. And the spiritual aspect is, you know, your daily Bible time. Do you go to church? Do you pray? How often do you pray? It doesn't matter how often or how long, but the key about that is listening, because mm-hmm. you don't have the answers. And you got to be still and shut this hole under our nose long enough to get still and listen. You got to think, like, you know, I'm sure your audience is familiar with the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule. You know, if you have 5 minutes, you should speak for 1 minute and you should listen for 4 minutes. There's a fantastic book by Bob Bodine called Two Chairs, Game Changer. But there's three questions I like about the spiritual. How did you get here? What are you doing while you're here? And where are you going when you leave here? So you need to kind of get those nailed down, because the bottom line is we don't know who the old people are because we don't know how long we're going to live. You know?
So, yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about it that way.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, say, like, I want to be 40 in July. So if I'm going to live to 95, I'm fairly young. But if I'm going to live to 52, I'm fairly old.
Right, but we don't know that.
But we don't know, so we don't know who's old and who's young. I mean, if you've got 40 more years to live, you're fairly young. If you've got 6 more years to live, you're fairly old. So, you know, it's just vital.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was reading something in the last week about prayer. There was a study that was done actually using dye injected into people's brains and researched how their brains reacted different in prayer and how people with a regular prayer life to connect with heaven actually have different structure in their brain that allows them to deal with life in a different way than people who don't have that. It's physiological. It's not just a esoteric, you know, spiritualism or intangible thing, but can actually be proven physiologically.
See, I believe it, but this is the first I'm hearing about this. So, but if you think about it, for example, my grandmother, my last remaining grandparent, passed away last July. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, obviously I was sad because I'd like to be able to go over and eat some of her food and hang out with my grandmother. But for a believer, which she was, it's not see you forever. I'll never see you again. It's I'll see you soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I agree 100% with what the blog or whatever you read about the dye, because I know that I'll see her again. And if I live another 50 or 60 years, what's 50 or 60 years compared to eternity?
Right.
It's a drop in the bucket. I mean, we don't even recognize it, you know? And speaking of eternity, the best word picture I've ever heard in my life about eternity. So imagine a steel ball the size of planet Earth. And a single ant is walking around the steel ball. And he continues walking on that steel ball until it's the size of a pin dot. At that moment, when the steel ball, that steel, the size of the Earth, with one ant walking around it, gets to the size of a pin dot, that's when eternity starts. So it's quite a long time. But whenever you have your beliefs correct, you know the goodbyes are not forever. You will see them again. So I agree wholeheartedly with the how your brain physically changes because you know, oh, okay. I mean, I'm going to miss her, but people who are believers tend to react different when people pass away than people who aren't because you don't know if you're ever going to see them again.
Right. And yeah, so much has been said and written about faith. We could just go on that forever, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, you could talk about that aspect for the next 3 hours and not even break a sweat.
Right.
One thing leads to another thing, leads to another thing, leads to another thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's still, you got to still be 100% certain. If you're 99% certain, you're 100% lost. So it's vital to nail that aspect down.
Yeah, so important. And as land professionals, you know, some of you may be asking, what does this spiritual stuff have to do with my career, my business? Well, if you can tune into a spiritual resource to help you do your work better, if you could have a spiritual guidance to recognize the things you need to identify in title research or the direction you need to go in a negotiation with a land or a mineral owner. There's a whole nother level of how you're able to show up and do that work even better. So don't neglect that.
Let me add one more thing to that. So the book of Colossians written by the Apostle Paul. Colossians 2, verse 3, speaking of your, you know, land professionals, and why don't you tap into the person that created the whole thing and let him be your advisor? You know, if you're so in tune with the Father, you may get some insight. It's like, oh, where did I come up with that? Oh, there's no way you came up with that. He wanted you to hear it. But this is what I was going to get to. Colossians 2, verse 3, in him, as in Jesus, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And what does all mean? All means all, and that's all it all means.
Nice. Like that. Good stuff. Couple questions for you, David. I was thinking about, as you've coached others through this stuff, you know, the Ziegler books and courses, through these principles, what have you learned?
I have learned that I don't have all the answers, and I'm very much okay with that, because I don't need to have all the answers, because the answers are already inside of the person I'm speaking to, but they don't allow themselves, or they don't have a safe space to where they can distill the answers, where they come up with their own answers. Because, for example, whenever you told me that you were a landman, I said, what in the world is that? I had no clue, never even heard of it. But there's no way that I can be a better landman than you can be, because I don't even know what it does. I know a little bit. I mean, I know, when I say a little bit, very little, just from what you've told me. But I don't need to have all the answers to be able to teach you how to be a better landman, because you already know how to be a better landman. But if you get the distractions out of the way and get your priorities in line, you become better at being a landman or a barber or landscaper or whatever you do. Because if your priorities are out of whack, and especially your mental priorities, another quotation that comes to my mind, you cannot consistently perform in a manner which is inconsistent with the way you see yourself. So when your priorities are out of line and you're saying, oh yeah, I got this contract, but you know, deep down you're thinking, I'm a loser, I just lucked into this thing, and you know, whatever, you're eventually going to self-sabotage. But I learned that I don't have to have all the answers, and I'm very much okay with it.
Yeah, that's an interesting quote too, because if we begin to see ourselves differently and do it consistently, then our perspective changes and we're able to get different results.
100%.
How have you implemented these principles in ways that you wouldn't have in your own life because you were coaching others?
I think it goes to, and Ryan's going to smile when I tell this story, but I think it goes to the BAM principle, B-A-A-M. Okay. When Zig Ziglar was alive, he was, by his own definition, he said, I wasn't overweight, but I was about 6 inches too short. Okay. Yeah. So he had a few extra pounds. So he went to see a doctor, got all that stuff. And so he started to run. And what he did the very first day, he went out and he ran to the next mailbox. And that's all he could run. He was done for the day. And he walked back home. The next day, he ran to the second mailbox. He walked back home. The third day, he ran to the next mailbox. So, and then eventually he ran around the block and he did marathons and stuff. But the principle is persistent consistency. You know, if you've never ran before, you're not going to go out and run a marathon tomorrow. It's a process. So what I learned was I tend to not dip my toe in. I tend to dive right into the deep end head first.
Yeah.
But that's not sustainable, because you burn out. Because if you're not used to doing whatever, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to go, you know, say you lift weights. I can never do a pull up. Tomorrow I'm going to do 20 pull ups. It's impossible. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The persistent consistency, where little steps over time, just a 1 degree change makes it to where when you look back, you know, a 1 degree change from a mile is a pretty big gap. Well, if you go 10 miles, it's a bigger gap. If you go 100 miles, it's a bigger gap. If you go 1,000 miles, it's gaping. The thing I learned is you don't have to go from 0 to 100 overnight. You can go 0 to 2 and then 2 to 4 and then 4 to 8 and then 8 to 10. And then eventually you will build up where using persistent consistency, you can get where you want to go and you won't burn out in the process.
Yeah, I really like that. Just start small, incremental improvement. You know, that's how I've done 100 mile bike rides and 2000 meter swims and, you know, do something big, but I didn't just all of a sudden hop on a bike and go ride 100 miles.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Because, but then you had a goal set in your mind. I'm going to ride this 100 mile bike race. So in order that you probably, I don't know, but I'm guessing you talked to someone who did a 100 mile bike race, or you hired a coach to get you training the way, like, okay, you know, like today you need to ride 8 miles and the next day you need to ride 20 miles and the next day you got to ride 15 miles or whatever. And you're just building up to it. And then it's like, I'm going to go do that 100 mile race, but I'm not doing it tomorrow.
Right.
I'm going to do it in, you know, however long, you know, 6 months or however long the training is. But you sought counsel, or you read a book, or you read a blog article of people that have already been where you wanted to be and gain wisdom from them, I'm guessing. Or you might have just started writing, I don't know.
Kind of some of both there, actually. You know, make a decision, have a friend that says, hey, let's, you know, it started the first year I went and did 50. And so, okay, how am I going to get to 50? Well, let's just start riding, you know, ride 5 or 10 miles and start building from there. Like, okay, I can handle 5 or 10 miles. Now, if we're going to go do this ride in August, what's it going to take between now and then to get there? And get some insight from, you know, look at a couple people's training schedules and start putting that on the calendar and saying, okay, this, you know, this week I've got to ride 30 miles the whole week. Now, yeah. It doesn't seem so big, difficult if you just break it down into chunks and have a plan and a schedule, and maybe you put it on a calendar, or maybe you say, eventually I want to ride 100 miles altogether. And so what's it going to take to get there? And you chip away at it and learn and grow and develop. And as long as you keep making progress, then you're going to get there. If you have a time restraint, then you have to put it on a calendar and make it fit in the time restraint. But otherwise you just make a plan and say, here's my goal. Doesn't matter when I get there, I'm going to get there. And that's a good for business application. As we try to grow a business, you know, eventually I want to be to a certain income amount or certain bring home amount or certain profit percentage in the business. Well, how do you get there? You don't leap from, I'm not taking any profit from my business to I'm taking 15% profit every month all at once. I mean, even if you're a business that's bringing in millions of dollars, unless you have that much waste that you can just immediately identify that much waste and flip it to profit, you're not going to just do that all at once. But if you do 1% at a time, or a couple percent at a time, and increase it a little bit here, a little bit there, then you can get there.
Yeah. So perfect example. I've read the book Profit First by Mike Michalowicz.
Yeah.
And what he says is, this is the goal, but you can't start at, you know, whatever that goal is. So he says, for one quarter, start at 1%. If you make $100 and you can't survive on $99, you've got other issues.
Yeah.
So then after the quarter, you bump it up to 2%. After the next quarter, you bump it up to 3%. After the next quarter, and so on. And he said the whole process takes about 2 years to get to where you're putting, you know, 10 or 12% in.
How do you coach someone who has lost hope or is struggling from a downturn?
Well, the honest answer is everyone experiences a downturn or has lost hope at some point. You know, so I think the key is to realize, actually, here's what I'd start with. I'd start with gratitude. I'd start a gratitude journal. Every single day, write down three things you're thankful for. Because you always have something to be thankful for. Case in point, if you don't think you do, the very first thing you should write down is oxygen. Because without it, we're not going to be here about another 3 minutes. So yeah. I would start with gratitude. But gratitude gets you looking at not how bad things are, but it turns you from a bad finder to a good finder, because you have to actively look for something that's good in your life. You know, you have maybe your health or oxygen, or you've got a puppy, or you have a car, or you live in America, or whatever. So I would start with that. But also I'd say whatever is going on, it has come to pass, not come to stay. Eventually, this will go away. This too shall pass. So I'd start with gratitude. Hope is, Alfred Adler said, hope is the foundational quality of all change. So I would kind of maybe get still and ask, what have you lost hope in? Have you lost hope in humanity? Have you lost hope in yourself? Have you lost hope in your business? You know, so that's where I'd start with.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks for that insight, dude. Just recognizing that hope is, I mean, in its essence, in its definition, it's that things will be different than they are. And so a recognition that the situation that seems like it's going to go on forever will pass. It might be in the next 72 hours. It might be, you know, a few months, or it could be a few years, but the situation, how it is, that seems like it never will change, can change. That's one of the early things to recognize, is even just to accept that it can change.
100%. And, you know, hope is basically thinking that tomorrow is going to be better than it is today. You know, this too shall pass. And it may turn out to be, whenever you get past whatever you're going through, when you look back at it in a year or two after you get done, it may be the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah.
So, personal story. In a previous life, I was a lab tech. I had the, quote, dream job. I was completely miserable. I never saw my family. I worked all hours of the day and night. The last day of September of 2015, my boss calls me and says, your services are no longer needed. Awesome. But in God's calendar, I'd already started pressure washing before then. And so now I'm a pressure washer, but I'm also a coach, but I've got two businesses. But the worst day of my life, when I got laid off from my job, turned out to be the best day of my life.
Yeah. How do you respond in those moments that you weren't prepared for or didn't think you were prepared for?
And it goes back to, say, you said a key word there, respond. Think about when you go to the doctor. You can respond or you can react, okay? Think about it when you go to the doctor. The doctor gives you, you're sick or whatever, the doctor gives you some medicine. He says, come back and see me in a week. If you react to the medicine, bad. That means your body's fighting against the medicine. It's not good. But if you come back in a week and says your body is responding to the medication, that's good. That means it's accepting the medication that's supposed to be helping you.
Yeah.
So whatever's happened, if you react, that's generally negative because you're, you know, fight or flight or whatever. But if you respond, like Ryan said, it allows you to process with a clear head and then take the next steps forward.
Okay. Parting thoughts and how people can get in touch with you.
I heard a wise man once tell me, you're only one conversation away from a completely changed life. But Mark Delaney, by the way, the best way to experience the conversation that could change your whole life is what I call a deep coaching conversation. And all that is we're going to talk about you for about an hour, maybe 2 hours. And it's going to be a safe space where if whatever we've talked about today on any of the spokes, mental, spiritual, physical, family, financial, personal, career, if that's resonated with you and you fill out your will of life assessment and you want to take it deeper, I'm going to invite you to a deep coaching session, 100% confidential. But, and what I've done, Ryan, for your audience, I've waived my fee. So it's completely complimentary.
And, awesome. Very generous. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. And the best way to get a hold of me is two ways. You can call or text me, 832-517-3361. 832-517-3361. Or my website is davidcreel.com. DavidCreel.com.
Okay. Awesome. Three parting questions I've got for you. Today's Wednesday. I like to do What's Up Wednesday. So what's the big long-term thing that David Creel is working on, and what's your next step to get there?
So the big long-term thing I'm working on now is I'm finding the balance between running my pressure washing business and coaching. Ultimately, I think coaching is what I was put on the planet to do. Okay, I heard a quote from Les Brown. Your job is what you're paid for. Your calling is what you're made for. I think the pressure washing, I really like it. I don't hate it, and I don't love it, but I don't hate it either. But it's fine. I have no issues. But that right now, that's my job. My calling is coaching people and talking about what we've been talking about for the last 45 minutes. You know, I think that's what I was made here to do. So I'm looking at resources to help me make the transition to here's my pressure washing, here's my coaching, to make them to where I'm doing mostly coaching and some pressure washing when I want to and when it's on 115 outside.
Yeah. Making that transition, that's something that we have talked a fair bit about in the Land Skills Network, and we'll continue to talk about because it's something we're always doing as land professionals, transitioning from taking on different roles on our project, or maybe it's time to transition and get out of the oil and gas industry for you. Or maybe you're a new student, you're just graduating from college and you're getting into your career. You know, those transitions, that pivot point where you're making that shift, just like David talked about, where you have one part of your life that's a big part of your life or your business, and another part that is a small part, and you are wanting to make that shift and make the part that really brings you alive where you can really focus. So, yeah, again, David, thanks so much for being with us. I'll get this posted up in the Land Skills Network and put people in touch with you. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a great day.
David just published a book titled Road Trip. Go to his website to check it out and grab your copy today. Thanks for listening to the Landman Pivot Podcast. I'm your host and pivot coach, Ryan Fairbanks. Please listen to an episode or two and leave a review. Let's level up your skill set and mindset so you're prepared for your next pivot.